All right, here we go on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold. We are live up in St. Joe. Another day of Chiefs practice. Another hour and a half practice or so today. So another half hour to go, and then we're going to be joined by Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy. Looking forward to talk to him. Of course, he progressed throughout his rookie year. He had the big stats in the Super Bowl.
And the playoffs in general.
Big opportunity again for him, as we all think they'll be without their number one wide receiver starting in week one. That's, of course, Rashee Rice. So Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown are going to be the two of the biggest pieces of this offense right out of the gate.
Yeah, so excited to talk to Xavier Worthy. Obviously, as you made the observation earlier and we continue to watch, Rashee Rice is the most targeted wide receiver at camp by a mile so far by Patrick Mahomes. And I understand, like, he's probably got maybe just one or two reads in some of these routes. Maybe they're trying to get reps while they can get him reps because they know later on, as the, you know, when he can't practice with the team when he's under suspension, maybe they handle those things a little bit differently. But yeah, Xavier Worthy is going to have to be a major player in the offense early. And the fact that they keep showing to Rashee Rice might tell us where that power dynamic goes once the suspension is over.
For sure. Now, it is important to note, if we find out about the Rice suspension during camp, he can, all the way up till week one, he can practice, he can do everything.
Preseason games.
All of that. So that's not going to impact here, but at some point in time, we'll obviously get that news. But Xavier Worthy, I'll be honest, first question I'm asking him is, how is there a reason why he's like the only player other than maybe a number like Brownlee, another receiver that nobody knows about, that is wearing long pants? They're not in pads, for those of you that haven't been up to camp yet or anything. Like, they're not in pads, so they're just in shells. They're wearing basically, you know, essentially shorts and a light jersey. And so you're not wearing pants. And he's wearing long pants, and I think it's funny, and I want to ask him about that.
It's not terribly hot yet.
No, today, gorgeous so far.
But in general, he's been wearing pants. Maybe he gets colder because he's skinny.
Hmm.
You know, maybe just runs cold. Okay. Have you considered that?
There's no way he
likes being
there's
hot.
There's no way he's cold out there. Maybe he's just trying to build up more of a sweat.
Honest
but there's
to God,
no way he's cold.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now, I will. This is this morning so far is amazing weather. Good crowd of fans. Remember, today's an open to the public practice. Maybe the rain scared some people off early, but it has been dry since practice began. We are expecting maybe some more storms. We'll find out from our official weather report. Cloudy with a chance
at some point.
We'll find out what kind of rain we could get, but we know we maybe have some thunderstorms coming a little later on in the show. Don't forget our training camp coverage brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. We are also about an hour away from our first elimination from Camp Darling Island. If you missed the first edition of that a couple days ago when we drafted our Camp Darlings, we've got Breshard Smith and Jared Wiley and Elijah Mitchell on Cody's side of things. He drafted. Drew drafted Tyquan Thornton, Jake Brenningstuhl, Omar Norman Lott. I drafted Jalen Royals, Noel Williams, and Jaquarius Spivey. We're going to find out who's going home, at least on our island, all right?
I can tell you right now, Chiefs.com, Drew, called the catch of the day, the play of the day for Tyquan Thornton.
Let's
so,
go.
Like, I feel like he's got to be feeling.
Do you see who, who just caught a deep pass?
I did.
Spivey, baby. Let's go.
Who was throwing it to him?
That was Gardner Rich, I think. He's not running with the ones today.
Bailey's happy. He was so far down.
Even further down.
Well, you know what?
It's going to be tough for Spivey.
New life for Spivey, though. At least he caught a deep pass. That puts him in there. Plus, Drew, you'll be happy to know that the wasp that bothered us for the entire show is now dead. I killed it.
Eliminated.
Hey. It's been eliminated from this table because it kept flying over here. And as I told you guys yesterday, I couldn't believe it because we were sitting up here on Tuesday. We had again established, Gold, that you had never been stung by a bee or a wasp in your entire life. And I thought, man, that's crazy. Because sometimes I'm not even, like, doing anything, and it feels like I've been stung a few times in my life. Only to yesterday, me to be mowing my grass, run over an underground beehive, and get stung, and I'm not kidding, like 10 times in my legs. My legs still hurt today.
Well, at least you know you're not allergic,
from the bee stings. No,
otherwise,
I guess.
Otherwise, you'd be in the hospital.
Yeah, I'd be like that. I'd be Macaulay Culkin from My Girl, and we'd all be screwed. But, like, no, I just, like, I ran over a beehive, and I got, like, 10 bee stings in my legs. I can still feel, like, all of them, all over my legs. The skin feels tight. I tried to check for the stingers. I don't think they're in there, but the bee stings are still annoying. I was like, what a pain. Unbelievable. We try to. That's why I killed that wasp. I'm out for blood now.
No, I'm glad that's it's it. Gone. I appreciate you doing that. I don't have to duck around it throughout practice or anything like that. So I do appreciate your effort, Cody, with that. You guys can always hit us up.
I sent you a picture of the video of the bees, man.
I know. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Toast Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream is also going to be up and running. Even though we're on remote, you can still watch and listen through if you're at work, you want to listen through your computer or whatever, of course, on YouTube. Drew has our statues, our figurines hanging out back in the studio that you can hang on to there as well. I don't know. By the end of camp, Drew might have us our figurines wearing Cincinnati Bengals clothes or something. I have no idea. But
Let's hope for now, it is all good.
I still haven't gotten creative with that yet. We'll have to see what happens. Mm-hmm.
You got time. We'll be up at camp, I don't know, 10 more times, including today?
Yes. And look, so far today, as we expected, the offensive line reps go in the same way that we've seen the first now 3 days of practice. And that's probably going to be the case as long as Juwan Taylor is on the pup list. And then that's when I think it gets interesting. That's when you wonder, is there a shift when Taylor's out there? Does that mean Jalen Moore's with the twos or the ones at left tackle, or is Josh Simmons with the twos? That's when it gets interesting. But for now, we kind of know who's going to work with the ones. The next big thing other than Taylor coming back from the pup list will be when they get on the pads, which I believe Sunday's the first day they're allowed to. Remember, they have criteria. They're not allowed to just go to pads right away. So I think Sunday's an interesting one. A lot of people always ask us, like, what's a good day to come up to camp? I'll be honest. Look, if you, depending on your work schedule and everything, obviously some of you can only come up on a weekend. If you can wait till they put the pads on, that's what I would say. Practice is just better when pads are on.
I agree, but I mean,
and a longer practice. Like, these right now, for another day or so, are only an hour and a half practice. So if you're going to drive all the way up here and you want to see a longer practice, if you want to see them in pads, I believe Sunday's the first day they're even allowed to wear pads. And that doesn't mean they're wearing pads every day from here on out, but that's just something to keep in mind. We've seen some people always text in asking, best day to show up. And you could also go to the Chiefs site, I think, and find out who's signing autographs, what day, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I just think that when you look at it, it's more fun that way, but I also get it. Like, today is, I think, a quarterback sign day, Colt, so people like to come up and take their shot at an autograph from Patrick Mahomes or the other guys down the list, and Gardner Minshew and others. So, like, some of it's just that. But, look, I at least like that now we're beginning the 7-on-7 portion of it. Down in the red zone, 7-on-7, at least I start getting some sort of sense of who's running in what group and what the plan is. But the offensive line thing, at this point, Gold, we're going to get through the entire first week of practice with that being the unit. 1 through 5, not rotate. And you know Andy loves to rotate. No, 1 through 5, left to right, that being the line. Again, I don't think Juwan Taylor's job is at risk, but I will say Jalen Moore's as a starter for sure is. Because the second he comes back, if it is Simmons in the lead as the one, and by the way, he looks gigantic and powerful and just throwing sleds around. If he's the one, well, then Jalen Moore's going to be back in the same spot he was last year for the 49ers and just being a great swing tackle option for your team, but then hoping you never have to go down that road, you know?
Yeah, they have the depth. They have some flexibility there. That's for sure. The other thing, though, I think, you know, as we look ahead to the next couple weeks, we know one of the things Andy Reid does, Cody, at camp is they have a day or two, they focus on each divisional opponent. We know that's been something that he has always done. They'll spend a certain portion of camp on the Chargers and on the Broncos and on the Raiders. And I'm, by the way, seeing way more people jumping on board that the Raiders could be the surprise team in football. Like, you know, there's one team that's a surprise. Yesterday we were having a discussion about surprise team just to be in that tier with the Chiefs or Buffalo or Baltimore. But a team to surprise to just make the playoffs. A lot of people are on this Raiders bandwagon because they look at Ashton Jeinty and they look at Brock Bowers with Geno and Pete Carroll. And
they think that's an offense.
That's an offense that can work. Look, I think they're going to be more respectable. I think they're going to not be a laughing stock or anything like that. I don't know if I'm sold on the massive leap that suddenly they're going to go and be a 10-win football team, which is what, at minimum, it's going to take to be a playoff team. But we can get into specifics with the Raiders later. I do want to talk about the most vulnerable division winners from last year, though, and how you would rank out the top four or so most vulnerable. So let's just start in the AFC and see if you think any of these are, like, the most vulnerable. Obviously, Buffalo won the AFC East.
Least vulnerable, I think maybe in the league.
I think they are absolutely the least vulnerable just because you're dealing with a Dolphins team that also just suffered an injury yesterday. We've talked a lot about Miami and where they're at as an organization. You know Tua is not playing all the games this year. Mike McDaniel's on the hot seat heading in. New England could take a leap, but I don't think they're jumping up and winning 12 games and winning the division from Buffalo.
No.
The Jets, I mean, we're going to talk about Justin Fields. He's hurt now on top of what you already thought about the Jets.
So whatever reps he was going to get is further down the list. That's just a non-competitive division. It hasn't been for a long time.
So they're not the most vulnerable by any means. You go and you take a look at the AFC South. I actually think the Texans are in the top one or two of most vulnerable, though.
They almost lost the division last year to a bad Colts team.
I would put them pretty high on my list of most vulnerable division winners from a year ago. Houston has to be very, very high on that list. AFC North, Baltimore, just because of the nature of that division, aren't they a little bit higher than even Kansas City in terms of being vulnerable for the AFC West? Like, I would put Houston ahead of Kansas City as a vulnerable division. I would put the Ravens slightly ahead. I think the Chiefs are probably like the fourth most vulnerable division winner from a year ago. I know they've won
in all of football.
In all football.
Yeah, I would definitely say the teams that are less vulnerable are definitely the one you mentioned before, the Bills. The AFC South is for sure. The AFC East is, or the AFC North is for sure. Just again, because of the way that division works, you got to say it that way. I would say the same thing for the East. You got the defending Super Bowl champions. You got an up-and-coming team in the Commanders. If Dak Prescott stays healthy, they have competed for that division in recent memory. So you got to think that that division's a little bit tougher. The NFC North had two 14-win teams last year, so maybe them, depending on what I think about J.J. McCarthy. I actually think the Lions are pretty safe there because I think the Vikings are taking a step back and the Packers didn't step forward enough. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, yeah, they're all up for grabs. NFC West is up for grabs. NFC South is up for grabs. The Chiefs are probably middle of the pack goal to, I don't know, maybe lower third even, if we're talking about most vulnerable divisions. I know people are going to look at it because maybe a couple of years ago, and this goes back to, like, not falling for the same trap. Because I think it'd be easy to look at the Chiefs on paper and say that this is going to be, and I remember saying this in training camp maybe like 2 years ago, this is going to be one of, if not the toughest divisions in football. It was a tough division last year. They had three playoff teams and one joke. So, like, I'm not – it was a tough division last year.
Oh, it's going to be close again.
The problem is the gap.
Closer than it was a year ago.
You've got to make up five games. So the Chiefs have to be two games worse. You have to be three games better. It's like, I don't think the Chiefs are two, three games worse. I don't think the other teams are two, three games better. It takes a big swing in order to come back. And I know year to year is a little different. They can only win 12 games this year.
Yeah, I mean, how I've described it is I think, let's say the Chiefs win three fewer, okay? That knocks them down to 12. And then you look at the Chargers who were at 11 and the Broncos who were at 10. So the Chargers win one more game. The Chiefs lose three more. The Broncos have to win two more. That's just to be in a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, while I think it'll be
we
much
know their
closer,
division record, so you're going to get that tiebreaker?
It'll be much closer this year, but I don't see the Chargers or Broncos being a team capable of winning 13-plus. And to me, that's what you would have to convince yourself to if you think that's going to be the switch this year in the division, that the Chiefs, for the first time in 9 years, I guess it'd be 10 years, going on 10 now, that they wouldn't win the division. That's where I struggle. But going back to the original, like, most vulnerable divisions, so the North, the West, the East, the South, how about on the NFC side? You know, the NFC, we know the history in the NFC East. Nobody's gone back-to-back in the NFC East for 20 years. That's crazy. Now, I don't think the Eagles are as vulnerable as some of these other teams, but the history of that division would tell us the Eagles are unlikely to repeat. I tend to disagree. I think they will win this division.
I
think the Commanders.
But they're still vulnerable.
Sure, just in order of rank, would you say they're more vulnerable than
the Chiefs? Yeah, I would. I would, because the Cowboys, with Dak Prescott, have been a 12-win team a lot, and the Commanders are up and coming. I wouldn't put it at, but like, I don't know. It's probably because
I don't think it's much
if you
difference.
Said, who do I have more faith in making up the gapping? It's probably not way different. Dak Prescott and Jaden Daniels or Justin Herbert and Bo Nix. And if I put it just like that, you would agree with me that Dak and Jaden Daniels present a larger threat than Justin Herbert and Bo Nix.
Sure.
So, like, that's where I have a hard time shaking the idea of when I'm thinking about these divisions, I'll side with who's the quarterback who can lead them over the top of those guys.
And I think Dak Prescott, people disagree. I told you, I think Dak is definitely a top 10 quarterback in this league. My only question would be Brian Schottenheimer, first-year head coach. I don't really expect much from him. And then we just get done playing the Jerry Jones stuff the other day. And just the chaos that exists with them. But, yeah, all right, how about another division in the NFC and where that stacked? NFC West, the Rams were division champs last year. To me, they might be number one or two after the Texans, the most vulnerable, because Matthew Stafford's now dealing with back problems again. That's never a good thing for a quarterback. This is a team that only won 10 games last year. Yes, they had injuries. The Niners only won 6. I think everybody understands the Niners are not winning 6 games this year. They are going to at least, I think, win 9 to 10 games at minimum, if not actually get back to winning 11 or 12. Seattle, Sam Darnold, second year of a head coach. It's hard to predict, but they're not going to be a 5-win team.
They were a laughingstock last year.
I don't think the Cardinals are going to be terrible. They were an 8-win team last year. I could see them pushing 9, 10 wins this year. I think that division's very, very competitive in the West.
Has been.
Yeah, and so that would put the Rams as a more vulnerable team. They won on a tiebreaker last year.
So South in the AFC. Then we think NFC West probably too. Yeah, that's probably fair. And then, yeah, AFC North just, again, by the nature of its division. I'd say some of that depends on your belief in can the Steelers win with Aaron Rodgers, and if you actually think that Cincinnati is going to be relevant again. Because we don't have to include Cleveland in this conversation. I'm assuming you saw what we all saw yesterday, which is even in their helmet announcement, it's a joke, and some poor guy fell into the water just trying to announce a new helmet to take a photo.
Yeah, they have a new alternate helmet. They were on like a barge or whatever. And
why were they on a barge?
Because they got the river right there or whatever. So they were on a barge, and they were trying to take the covering off this replica blow-up helmet thing. And somebody stepped backwards, one too many steps, and fell into to the lake or river. I mean, so, yeah.
So, part of it is, NFC North for this year, I'm actually a little more confident the Ravens will repeat because I'm down on Cincinnati, and it's hard for me to just totally buy in gold into the Pittsburgh Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. I think it's, in a weird way, it's easier because of the unknown. Maybe we can get into that. Maybe we can figure out which way to go with it. Like, those things are possible, but... And I think sometimes, and Drew knows this, I don't do it to pick on it. I just don't know how Cincinnati got any better versus exactly the same as they were last year. They're bringing Noah Fant in for a workout. You don't need another pass catcher.
Why not?
Do you have anybody to play defensive end? You need to bring in a different position.
They got Joseph Osai and Miles Murphy who are going to get more reps now, obviously, with Trey Hendrickson being out and Shamar Stewart situation. I mean, they get healthy in the secondary because they had two guys out for the season in the middle of the year. So, theoretically speaking, they're getting two new players back from the back half who were out for the last, I don't know, 8 to 10 weeks of the year. So, theoretically, you would think that helps the secondary's issues at least.
I'm not saying it doesn't get, it just doesn't feel like they got much better. Maybe slightly, maybe a little bit. Hard to say.
We'll
for
see
sure,
how good Al Golden is, because Al Golden could turn the thing around, and we could just be like, "Yeah, Lou Anarumo actually was the problem." It sounds like it's easier for the defense based on what they've said about Al Golden. He makes it easier for them in terms of communication and stuff. I don't know. We'll see in a month or 2 months.
But it's a lot like what we just talked about with the Chiefs. Gold. If I think Cincinnati is going to overtake Baltimore as the division winner, I have to assume Baltimore gets multiple games worse, and the Bengals get multiple games better. And, on paper, I have a hard time reconciling that.
But Baltimore was I think the only difference would be they weren't a 15 or 14-win team last year. They were a 12-win team last year. So thinking that they lose one more game, that puts them at 11. And if you're an 11-win division winner, it's in play. It's in play for anybody at that point in time. Really, a lot of the conversation about the North is how do you feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers? And do you believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers are capable of pushing the issue? They won 10 games last year with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
It's crazy.
That's Mike Tomlin for you.
They changed their entire wide receiver unit. TJ Watt is obviously under contract, so the defense should still be good. It does feel like their minimum is 9 or 10 games. So what if Aaron Rodgers is good again? He was good 2 years ago. What if he's good? Or 3 years ago. Now it's been kind of too long. Because he wasn't good.
His first year in New York was the Achilles, and then last year was his second year in New York. So, yes, three years ago.
So 3 years ago is when he won the MVP, right? He was a back-to-back MVP winner 3 and 4 years ago.
Yes.
So, is that just – that's just inside the range, Gold, where I'd still consider it possible for them to be good. Outside of that, then I'm like, hey, stop talking about what they did 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Let's get to a range in which I don't care what they did anymore. He's just there enough. That's why they're middle of the pack. But again, I think the Chiefs are probably with most teams.
They're the fourth most vulnerable, maybe fifth, division winner from a year ago. And we know in the NFL, there's parity when it comes to division winners. Maybe you disagree that there's as much parity in the playoffs as people claim, but there is definitely parity with teams that make the playoffs and division winners. What's the stat that's out there? 19 of the last 22 seasons. at least one team has gone from worst to first in our division. So pick that. Who are those teams, by the way, that are candidates from worst to first? All right. This year, the candidates would be New England, Cleveland, Tennessee,
no.
Vegas, Giants, no. Bears, New Orleans, San Francisco. I think there are two obvious ones that stand out there. One is San Francisco. The other one is Chicago.
Yeah, and I'd give.
And I'm not saying they're going to win, but like if I had an order of most likely of those, San Francisco, Chicago. People think it's crazy. I think New England or the Raiders would be the next one before I would get to Cleveland or Tennessee or New Orleans.
Tennessee, can't we just bank on the Cam Ward's a stud? They have a Daniels run.
He would have to.
That's why
I give. He would
have to
be good.
He would have to be.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like that's why I'd give the edge maybe there instead of Drake May because I've watched Drake May. It's the unknown. The unknown always tempts me, and that division's no good. You know. Well, I mean, the Texans won it at 10-7, and they didn't even seem like they wanted to win it half the
look,
time.
I'm not saying that I would put money down on
they have no
Chicago or the Raiders or Tennessee to win their division, but if we're just going through history, which is somebody that was worst in their division, last place in their division, history would say is going to win their division this year.
49ers
The Niners times. Seem like the obvious one, and then I would go in order of likelihood. I would go San Francisco. I would go Chicago. I would go probably Las Vegas, New England, Tennessee, and then get to, you know, the Giants in Cleveland and New Orleans.
What about is Tyler Shuck the goods? Would that change your mind?
sure. Yes.
The Saints are just
Spencer Rattler. You know what? He just didn't have it. Just give him a couple more games.
Spencer Rattler. I thought he was going to be a good player.
As I told you, Cody, I would love for him just to have a good week one, so I can offload a couple of his rookie cards, please.
You got a couple of?
I like four.
You're
or
sitting
five
on
of
a couple of four or five. You're sitting on a lot.
I pulled
of Spencer
them for packs. I didn't buy them specifically.
I
thinking
thought you
he
were
was
investing
gonna
be, in Spencer Rattler.
Hell no.
That was an interesting choice.
No, I've had some bad luck. Instead of pulling Caleb Williams rookies, I've been pulling Spencer Rattler rookies, unfortunately.
Golden OG fan. He loved Spencer Rattler when was going to Oklahoma, when he was out of high school.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you know this, Drew. He was supposed to be the real deal coming out of high school.
Yeah, and then he got benched.
He's in the NFL. It's not like he was a complete bust. I mean, the guy still made the NFL and started games. Oh, yeah. So, it's not like he was a complete disaster. But, yes, it'll be interesting to watch. All right. It is very cloudy here at training camp. Feeling good. We got another 8 to 10 minutes left in practice. It's time for another weather report from Cloudy with a Chance.
With your training camp forecast, I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance. For today, unlike Gold's dating life, it's going to be very hot and also really hot for the next few days. Sunny skies today and highs near 100. I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance for Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.
All right. Well, number one, shots fired right out of the gate. You guys thought I was doing the weather reports 2 days ago?
Now you
know I'm not. The other part is, what forecast is he looking at? It is cloudy and it's 80-something.
Oh, so now you're calling it. Meteorology's a tough job, you know?
He said sunny in 100 degrees.
It's rainy.
It's the opposite.
He might have been talking about KC because there's blue sky outside right now I'm looking at.
Oh, it's different up here, I'll tell you. I don't get it. I don't like that weather report today.
You
cloudy
like
with
it?
A chance. We got issues. We got beef with cloudy with a chance.
That's
now.
2 days in a row he's taking a shot.
Yeah. So far, Drew's the only one off the hook. It makes me wonder if Drew's the one writing these.
That's a good point, Drew.
I promise
I'm
not.
How come he hasn't
taken
a shot with you? Because you're not up here or just because he thinks that you don't deserve it?
Maybe a little bit of both. I don't know. I am not writing them. And I am not. Look, I am letting cloudy. I told him beforehand. You do all the creativity stuff. You want to take shots. But I didn't say two take shots.
Wow, so you opened us up for this.
So you're working with the meteorologist. Shots. That's what's happening.
I didn't
He's
give any ideas.
Information.
I didn't give any ideas.
Wow.
To cloudy.
Okay. So you say.
Well, I can tell you today's weather report is completely inaccurate in every facet. Every facet.
Yeah, terrible job.
100 degrees? Jeez. I'm glad
it's
not that hot
close
for you guys.
To that, right? That, I guess, later today. I think originally maybe that's what was in the forecast.
Someone says, who do we know named Chance? That's a clue. I don't know any Chances.
Do you know anybody named Cloudy?
No, definitely not. Do I know anybody named Chance?
Chance the Rapper?
I know one person named
Chance the Rapper. Thank you.
Personally.
Yeah, I know.
But to Drew's point, other than Chance the Rapper, I don't know anybody else named, period, that exists named Chance.
Neither.
But Cloudy with a Chance. Someone says cloudy with a chance forecast worse than Cody singing. It's not even close to 100 degrees. I agree. Way off today. Way off. We'll see how he does tomorrow.
Now I'm looking up famous people named Chance. I don't know.
Number one's got to be Chance the Rapper.
Well, yes, of course. And then a bunch of other people that you've never heard of. Just a bunch of other people you never heard of. That's all that matters. So, no, we don't know anybody named Chance, unless we happen to know Chance Bateman, an Australian rules footballer who played for the Hawthorne Football Club, which I don't. So
there you go. All right, up next, let's go up to another practice for a little bit. There was some big news in the NFL. Fortunately, it looks like maybe not going to be as severe as people were thinking immediately, but what would it mean if Justin Fields were to miss time for the Jets? We'll do that, and we're expected to be joined by Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy. Coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
Oh, gosh.
What a weird version of this song, too.
Seriously.
I couldn't find a more
upbeat. It started raining in the break.
This is the most upbeat version I could find.
People went under the tent for a little bit because it started pouring. It has already stopped. I mean, we got rain for about 2.5 minutes. And
it's not sunny.
It is not. Although,
sunny.
You say that and the sun, the sun is actually starting to come out right now. But anyway, that's
oh, my God. Did he know?
Maybe Cloudy was
right.
Cloudy
with a chance, man.
Maybe Cloudy was right. We are in St. Joe, by the way, if you can't tell already. Broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp thanks to Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Practice, we'll see, should be wrapping up soon. Maybe they're going a little bit longer today, but we are expected to have Xavier Worthy join us exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan, the only show, the only station broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp.
He just caught a deep touchdown.
Andy Reid is also expected to speak to the media. We'll have some of that for you coming up throughout the show today as well. But one of the bigger stories this morning in the NFL is what's happening at Jets camp. That's their quarterback, Justin Fields, who was carted off. Now, we have to remind everybody, this includes for Chiefs camp, at training camp, if you have, like, other than a hangnail, they're going to cart you up. They're not making you walk all the way up. So let's keep that in
front
mind.
Front of cart, back of cart, when we pay attention
for
to
sure.
Here.
For sure, front of cart or back. Now, Justin Fields was carted off, left practice with a, at the time they said, lower leg injury. We now know it's a toe, and then I think even further is...
Rappaport called it a dislocated toe with no break.
Who knows?
They're still waiting on more evaluation.
We don't know the timeline. Of course, immediately when it was just the lower leg injury, everybody's thinking, oh my gosh, here's Kirk Cousins' opportunity. Atlanta, trade him to New York. Fortunately, it looks like it's not that severe. Now, he could still miss some time. Who knows? I mean, we're 44 days away-ish from the start of the season, 43 for the Chiefs, so I guess 45 for the Jets. They play Sunday night or Sunday afternoon against the Steelers in week one. So I don't think they have to go to that extreme yet. Their quarterbacks on the roster are Tyrod Taylor, who's going to turn 36 next week.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
You could have turned 45.
They also have Brady Cook, the rookie out of Mizzou, and then Adrian Martinez, the former Nebraska quarterback, and K-State quarterback, I guess, for that matter.
You know, Skylar Thompson got in some games. Maybe Brady Cook's time, you know, get another local quarterback in the mix. Look, the truth is, had this been a serious injury, or for some reason, because you know this works, dislocated toe, re-injury, quarterback, mobile quarterback, maybe it's a longer injury than I think. We should absolutely bring in Kirk Cousins. They've sold their soul. I saw somebody point this out as it related to T.J. Watt and the Steelers. Like, why pay him that amount of money if last year you saw a decline in play? And the answer is, because they got a 45-year-old quarterback, they're all the way in. The Jets did their best version of all the way in. They got a lot of players, a lot of young talent. They've got players on offense that they think they can make it work. Their offensive line still stinks. But they figured, yeah, let's make a run at this thing. So if he missed any time that was significant, the first team that loses a quarterback should immediately
call
Kirk
Cousins. But if Justin Fields is only going to – but if Justin Fields is missing 1 week, you don't need to go out and trade.
The only way
you're going down the Kirk Cousins path is if you think Justin Fields is missing 2+ months of the season, and then you evaluate Tyrod Taylor, you have a brand-new head coach and everything like that. But if Justin Fields is questionable week one, they don't need to go trade for Kirk Cousins. But hopefully that's the case, by the way, and hopefully Justin Fields, because that would suck for him if obviously he's going to miss significant time. But that was the big story for, like, especially for a half hour when there was a lot of unknown around Justin Fields at practice.
Let me ask a question about Kirk Cousins, because he's a fascinating quarterback this year, because you very rarely have a backup who was a starter who's also making a lot of money on a roster with a quarterback who he's definitely not going to start over.
Yep.
So more than likely, he would be cut by about 99% of teams in the history of the sport. Do you think he makes a start for a different team this year? Because the only way he's making a start for Atlanta is if
Penix goes down.
Penix goes down.
That's a tough one to answer, right? I mean, it truly will take an injury for somebody else. So if in the next month
a quarterback will get hurt,
quarterback.
Yeah, every year a starting quarterback goes down for the year. Dak last year,
but that was week 9 though.
I guess post trade deadline.
If you're
Aaron Rodgers a couple years, I feel like there's
yes,
like at least one every year.
starting quarterback, somebody will have a season-ending injury at some point, but does not.
But if you're a bad team, you don't
camp.
Go get Kirk Cousins, right?
No.
If you're a team that wasn't expected to do anything, if Cam Ward goes down, you don't bring in Kirk Cousins and
I
say,
agree.
Let's make that work.
No,
but
I
half
mean,
the teams, in fairness, are eliminated from this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I don't want to wish.
If J.J. McCarthy goes down, Kirk Cousins would probably be back up in Minnesota.
Sure, yeah, I don't want to wish injury on anybody. But, yeah, if J.J. McCarthy went down early, they are still a team expected to win now. So, yeah, that would be a team. But that's been the conversation all offseason, though, really. Nothing has really changed. It's just today maybe there was a window, depending on the severity of for Justin Fields' injury. To answer your question, do I think Kirk Cousins makes a start this year for somebody outside of Atlanta? Do I think he makes a start, period, this year? I'll go no, because I'm not going to predict an injury that might happen in Week 9.
Sure.
I think during training camp, fortunately, all the starting quarterbacks are not going to be out. You know, there's not going to be one that's out for the season. Now, somebody could be out for a couple weeks, that kind of stuff. It's a preseason game. Somebody gets their ankle rolled up on and all of a sudden they're out for 2 weeks. But that's probably, again, you're not calling Kirk Cousins up for that.
Yeah, yeah. There's no amount of, like, it's just a few weeks missing that you bother down that road. I guess the other part is, like, does he want to go the Joe Flacco route? Does he want to play another 5 years where, like, sometimes he's the starter, sometimes they let him compete for the starter?
My understanding is he still
thinks
he can start.
Maybe bounces to the other team. But, you know, like, Joe Flacco probably thought that, and he just kept bouncing from team to team. And he does get to start sometimes because he is better than some of the bad rookies, bad second-year players, bad whatever. But in the position he's in, they couldn't ever go back. What if Penix stinks? Would Atlanta go back to him? Like,
it'd
if
have
Penix
to be
is
really
awful,
bad.
Awful.
It'd have to be really bad. Now, Joe Flacco's 40 now. Cousins is still 36, so I don't think they're on the same level, but I get what you're saying.
Flacco's been doing it for like 4 years. He's been doing it.
I mean, Flacco was out of the league until he got comeback player of the year. He was on his couch. That's why he won comeback player of the year. He was on his couch and then won some games for Cleveland.
What was
the playoffs?
Like a big contract
they won a playoff game.
Were people upset that somebody else should have won comeback player of the year?
Because it was like, what are you coming back from? Just being not available to play because you're not any good anymore. So why?
I think it should be either.
They changed the wording on it, but it's weird. They changed the wording on it, and they instructed their voters not to vote because of that. But like, it doesn't prevent. Like, they can instruct you as a voter. Let's say it's you, Cody, and they can say, "Hey, it should not be because someone wasn't any good. It needs to be they overcame adversity, yada yada yada." You could still vote however you want. Like, they can't prevent you because you can come up with whatever
reason.
It's like,
we prefer you didn't vote that way. And you're like, okay.
For sure.
Sure, boss. But I guess at the same time, if you kept not honoring it after a little
someone
bit
says
of time,
Kirk Cousins is making bank this year, I think he's good with it. See, this is where we miss. This is where we, I think, as like just the person that's not a professional athlete, get confused. Yes, I can just avoid all the hits and make $20 million. That sounds great. Kirk Cousins, his whole life has been a starting. He wants to play. So I understand what you're saying. Like, I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins is going to be the most miserable person on earth.
I don't feel horrible for him.
No.
Yeah.
But the idea, like, that he just could be in a backup, I think that couldn't be further from the truth. And if you watched any of this quarterback show, that will also become very evident how much, why he's a team player for Michael Penix. Of course, he wants to be the starting quarterback.
Well, why he also sits in there in the interview stuff and said, yeah, I kind of felt like I was misled by a team who said I was going to be the guy, and then all of a sudden they traded up for a guy in the top 10, making it far less likely I was going to be the guy for a number of years. So, yeah, I don't blame him for thinking that. Meanwhile, over on the baseball side of things, Rose got a nice win against the Cubs yesterday, even with Tyler Tolbert in the starting lineup. Did you see how happy the team was for his home run, Gold? Did you see the bench erupt?
Awesome. It was awesome.
When they were more happy for that than when Vinny hit his second, when Salvi got
they've seen Vinny hit home runs before.
You know, and Tyler Tolbert hit one, and everyone's like, yeah! Just the whole team's hyped up. Tyler Tolbert going nuts. I mean, just, I like that. That's fun. It's fun when players you don't expect hit homers.
No doubt. My favorite part was postgame, when, if you notice on Salvi's social channels, he was giving Tolbert a hard time because Tolbert left the game. He was cramping. So he needed an IV. And so Salvi took a photo of Tolbert getting an IV after the game and said, I remember my first home run. It is pretty funny. You hit your first career home run and you got to go get an IV?
Well,
he was cramping up.
It's just so interesting because the game yesterday, you get a taste of just the fun, right, the Tyler Tolbert. You get what we've gotten out of Vinny since really June 1st, May 1st, where he's been one of the most consistent hitters in baseball. Some of the things you know about the Royals. Then it also felt like Seth Lugo was actively auditioning to be a member of the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, he was right there,
one of the five teams who are reportedly interested in him, and then he's throwing. And then it brought me back to what we were saying yesterday, where, like, he's actively auditioning. But the Royals have a big problem with what they do with their pitching. Because I don't think for just this year, Gold, but for multiple years, they are stuck answering a question they can't answer just yet, which is, how healthy will Cole Reagan stay in the long run? If the answer is, pretty healthy, and this is just a one injury plague season, and he'll be fine, and the Tommy Johns are behind him, or everything else in between. If this is just an outlier for the new and improved, surgically repaired Cole Reagans from a few years ago, then I think you can be more flexible in taking a call on Bubic, or if you're going to try to bring back Lugo and re-sign Lugo, and if we keep him here, is he more likely to re-sign and all this other stuff? You have to answer the question of, do you think Cole Reagans is available long-term? And I don't think there's any way to answer that yes definitively.
Well, no. Right now, his target to come back this year is middle of August, well after the deadline. So in terms of knowing for sure what he looks like, yeah, they don't have the answer to that. I think, though, there's a real chance yesterday was Seth Lugo's last start in a Royals uniform in 2025. I say in 2025 because technically there's a chance in the offseason they could still bring him back, even though I think it's pretty slim based on financial reasons.
They got Walker back, so it's not out of the question, but yeah.
Yesterday might have been the last time we saw Seth Lugo. I thought there was an interesting quote from Vinny Pasquantino, after the game. He was telling, I believe it was the Kansas City Star, about the name Seth Lugo being mentioned ahead of the deadline. And Vinny said, quote, I don't know if he's lined up to pitch before the deadline. I'd really like to see him with the Royals jersey on his next start, and we're trying to make that happen.
As in, we're trying to win to keep Seth Lugo here.
They're 300-500. They have an off day today, and they have a pretty big series, to say the least, this weekend at the K, with the Guardians coming in.
Who are two games ahead of them in the standings, and one of the three teams ahead of them in the wild, four teams ahead of them in the wild card.
Best case scenario, this team on the day of the trade deadline could be one game above 500. That's best case scenario, meaning they win four in a row, including Monday, right? Because I don't think they're off Monday. I think they have a game. I could be off on that. But I know they play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that would be 500. Monday would be an opportunity to go above 500. That's if you win every single game. So, you know, they're in this literally the most – average spot heading into a deadline you could possibly be. There's a chance legitimately they could be a true 500 team at the deadline, which complicates it, I think, for them internally. I know from the outside, we've been saying it for a while. I think a lot of our listeners
at this point have
accepted the fact that he should and will get moved, but that's obviously not the message inside the clubhouse right now.
The Royals will get six full games before
the
deadline.
Okay, six. Thank you.
So they will. The deadline is on Thursday, July 31st. That is a Royals off day next week, but they've got three games this weekend against the Guardians, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they take on three games at home against the Atlanta Braves. And so they've got six games remaining before, so I guess technically they could be three games above 500 if they ripped off six in a row. But if they win four of six, let's say, let's say that's what they just won, right? Like they get a little bit hot, and they win four of six games, and you're like, okay, where are they now? 500. Like, pretty much right at 500, Gold. So then what do you do? What do you do if you're a team? I think you trade Seth Lugo, you get a bat, and then you hope that you're better on the opposite. You know, like, or the same. At the very worst, the same.
Yeah, look, they could win. You know, like, I don't think, you know, you can have a different opinion on will they make the playoffs if they win five in a row, six in a row, seven in a row. But in terms of the trade deadline, if they rattle off three against the Guardians this weekend, I don't think suddenly Tuesday they should decide, oh, we're buying rental guys. Like, I don't think that's what they're going to do, and I don't think they should. To me, they should be very open, no matter what happens this weekend, to trading Lugo, to trading Carlos, to trading Michael Lorenzen if he comes back and is healthy, for outfield bats that have control beyond 2025. And it sounds like that is kind of their mindset, at least on what they're looking to get back.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like we're alone in thinking that.
Yeah. Now, the Guardians as a whole, you know, we talk about the Royals beating up on bad teams and how they fare against good teams. You know, the Guardians are 30-13 against teams with a losing record. They're 21-37 against teams above 500. Obviously, the Royals are not above 500. The Guardians have fared well, much like the Royals have against teams like this.
Yeah. And some of the Royals, as you pointed out, now these are two teams in very similar spots. So, like, which of the, you know, like
Stephen Kwan's name, that you know,
his
like,
name's getting
that's
mentioned
a,
in
that's
a lot
big,
of trades.
Like, Stephen Kwan's name being mentioned is a much even bigger deal, right? Because, like, Seth Lugo is the best pitcher that potentially is available on the market, but Stephen Kwan being listed would be, honestly, it'd be like if the Royals were actually willing to trade Mikel Garcia. I'm not even saying Kwan and Garcia are the same quality player. My point is, like, you're talking about, like, a key piece in the offense there for the Guardians.
It has been.
Yeah.
Their leadoff guy for a long time there. How much control does he still have left on his deal?
His debut, we saw his debut at Kauffman a couple years ago, so he definitely has a couple years left to control. Remember, his debut was at Kauffman Stadium when he tore it up two, 3 years ago.
He has. He is ARB eligible in 26 and 27, and then an unrestricted free agent.
So 2 years.
So he's got 2 years of control left on his deal. I still think every time I look up years of control on people's deals, I am offended for baseball players how long their rights are controlled.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you get to the big leagues at 25 years old, you get, like, one chance at a payday. Like, we go back to Vinny. Like, if you have Vinny Pasquantino, you are still under control for the Royals for 26,
they don't have to give him a
7, and 8. So until your age 30 season, you keep hitting like this, which is a very, very good major league hitter. And so you keep hitting like that, you'll get a chance at one payday gold when you're 30 years old. Yeah. You're like, really?
Well, that's this,
really?
This
is why players lock up the arb stuff and put a couple of years on. But, like, it is just, like, it's
also
kind of offensive.
The MLBPA has screwed that up, though. They've agreed. I mean, they've agreed to this to be the system. And that they have not been willing to, you know, basically miss games in order to correct it. And so,
what's the better system because of the minor leagues and your clock not starting until you get to the majors? So if you're 30, you never get a chance to. Can we like, set an age in which the clock starts no matter what? Can at 25 years or 24 years old, the 7-year clock starts no matter what, whether I'm in the big leagues or not? So at the very least, by 30, I'm a free man, and I don't have to play out, you know, these years under contract. It just seems so silly a lot of times. It's fine. I do, like, I'm fascinated that we're a week away from the trade deadline today. I'm fascinated to see how the Royals handle it, because what I actually want them to do is what you said. Trade away their players with either very little or no control left over into next season, and I want them to get a controllable corner outfielder for the long term. Look, Duran is, honest to God, probably my dream scenario if they could bring anybody in that I thought had control. And then outside of that, it's just prospects where I'm like, I've never even seen you do it in the bigs, and it's like the Cubs' top prospect. I'm just, I don't know, hoping, I guess, that guy in Casey or Cassie can play. But, yeah, if a cost control corner outfielder and no Seth Lugo, if their other pitchers are healthy gold, they might be just as good of a team because they can pitch worse but hit better and then maybe just play the cards the other side until you can solve it in the offseason. Practice maybe just wrapping up?
I believe that might have been
is that the official horn?
Might have been the
final horn.
We
still got some special teams. I don't see any yellow helmet. A
couple
caps.
Other updates from training camp elsewhere. This is from ESPN reporter Ben Baby, covers the Bengals. We've had him on the show before. Drew, close your ears for a little bit.
No, I think I already saw
Bengals defensive end Miles Murphy carted back to the locker room. But, again, carted off can mean a million things. It's also, in the report, said very hot and humid. Maybe he's just dehydrated or something like that. But that is an injury report out of there from Cincinnati. Also, some news in the sports / pop culture world / I guess political world these days. Hulk Hogan has passed away at the age of 71.
Whoa!
Yeah,
Hulk Hogan,
legendary wrestler, obviously. TMZ reporting. That is from TMZ that Hulk Hogan has passed away at the age of 71.
Man, that's crazy. Ozzy Osbourne this week and Hulk Hogan. These are like generational.
They come in threes, don't they say?
Is that another Wasp?
Yes.
Oh, well, you're in for it, Wasp. I'm already covered in bee stings. What's one more going to do in an attempt to do it?
Yes.
Okay, wow, that's surprising. That's big time news.
They were playing, by the way, Black Sabbath earlier today.
They were.
That was not a coincidence.
No, I don't think so. No. I don't think.
Someone says that's three. They say death runs in three. I'm stupid. What's the third I'm missing? I thought it was just Ozzy Osbourne, Hulk Hogan. Someone said that's the three. Who's the third? Who's the third?
Third
who have we missed? I thought they say they come in threes, but I don't. Who's the third? Who are we missing? Somebody else?
Jeez.
I think it's been two so far, right?
I think so.
Are they inciting that? Well.
Insisting? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
there's going to be another one. I don't know. I don't.
Maybe
unless there is somebody else,
don't
I don't
remember.
Know.
That's all. Gold's counting on his hands now, trying to think about.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Still two.
Who are we missing?
Still two. We're out here at Chiefs training camp. Obviously, brought to you by Break Time. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by the Missouri's homegrown convenience stores.
Obvious.
Download their mobile app and find a location near you.
Malcolm Jamal Warner.
We talked about it on the show, too.
I know.
That is
there
three.
There we go. Thank
Man,
you.
What a week.
Yeah, that's not good. Jeez.
Only Thursday.
That is three.
Thank you, Texas.
Man, oh, man.
I was about to say, Theo. You know what? Now that you said it, I was like.
We talked about Theo from The Cosby Show a couple days ago.
These all feel so like 80s era, 80s, 70s, 80s coded, too. That's what makes it sound feel so specific. It feels like they're all of like an era of pop culture.
And all fairly young. I mean, Ozzy was in his 70s. I understand he had a very hard life, but like in his 70s, Hulk Hogan, 71. And then Theo.
He was 54, I think.
Yeah, and his was really tragic. It was a drowning accident, I think they said.
Man.
In Costa Rica.
RIP, I guess. Really tough. really tough this week overall. We're expecting, as soon as practice wraps up, to get Xavier Worthy over here. We'll continue to keep you guys up to date over on our social media channels for who will join us every single day, as we're expected to have a Chiefs player up at practice every single day. I'll tell you, as we began the show the same way, I kind of want to talk to Rashee Rice. Not even, like, the suspension stuff is interesting and that
hanging over
my head.
He looks good out here.
But if there was any worry about the injury and his ability to get up to speed quickly, the answer to that has been unequivocally no. That's not a problem. It's not going to be a problem. That's not the part of the question we are still asking. If I set an over-under of next Friday for his suspension, do you think we'll know by then? Or do you think it's around the first preseason game, which is a week after that?
Yeah, it depends. It's the NFL. Normally they take, you know, they can take up to 60-plus days to determine. Now, I would like to think that they have known about this for a while, even if the criminal process hadn't concluded till last week. But this incident, of course, happened in April of 2024. So the idea that the league is caught off guard by this or something, I think, would be kind of silly. So it's only, I mean, next Friday would be, what, 2 weeks or so? I don't know. I mean, that truly is just a flat-out guess. I think the NFL goes by their own rules and timelines, and it's not predictable. That includes even what the length of the suspension is going to be. Like, just we try to look at precedent for suspensions, and a lot of times they doesn't really matter for them. So I'll say no, just because I think the league is likely going to hand out the suspensions the same day as they do any other suspension. So whatever that day is that they want to announce the Addison thing with Minnesota,
which that one's a little more cut and dry.
Yeah, I think I think that'll be on a Friday. It will be. I think you're right on the day. It'll be on a Friday, and it'll be, you know, Friday at 5 o'clock. Because the league never wants to make. They just like Friday at 5 o'clock in a couple weeks. Maybe
I will say the Addison one is really interesting. Because the league has written into their rules a set number of games for a DUI suspension. Like, they have it. You get a DUI, you get four. This is the number. This is the number. But he pled to a lesser than DUI charge, even though it's in the same family. So, like, do they reduce it by a game, or do they just say, hey, man, that's close enough. Nice try on the plea. The suspension is the suspension.
Knows. Yeah.
And that part of it where I think becomes interesting, at least for the Vikings. That goes back to our division conversation. Vikings without one of their better wide receivers for the first little bit. New quarterback breaking
in. Yeah, but if Addison's
I understand. And they didn't win the division
last
year
either. It's going to be like a two or three game suspension for Addison. They have Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson and Aaron Jones. And they've got to me enough there. The question is more just what's the rookie look like? Second year player feels like a rookie, right? What's he look like? And I'm talking about JJ McCarthy. All right, coming up next, we expect practice to fully conclude and be joined by Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy. And it's time to play a little camp. Darling Island. Somebody has to be eliminated today.
Man.
And we do that next on Cody and Gold.